Hey y'all, thanks for joining us for this edition of the Rose Chat Podcast. On today's show, Christian Bedard from Weeks Roses joins us to talk about their lineup of new roses for 2018. You'll hear names like Lady in Red, Parade Day, and Top Gun. And my favorite, Easy Spirit. They're all roses that are easy to grow, easy to care for, and easy to love. Stay with us. The Rose Chat Podcast starts now.
It's time for the Rose Chat Podcast, a podcast dedicated to celebrating the world's most beloved flower, the rose. Join award-winning gardeners Chris Van Cleef and Teresa Byington as they chat with rose lovers and experts from around the globe. With each episode, you'll gain valuable knowledge and insights to achieve the rose garden you've always dreamed of. Listen now as we explore the world of roses.
Hey y'all, it's Chris Van Cleef. I'm the creator of the Rose Chat Podcast. For me, growing roses has become a passion. My membership in the American Rose Society has helped me to create the rose garden of my dreams, right in my own backyard. I also enjoy the camaraderie and support of a network of rose growers who are eager to share, learn, and grow together. To learn more about membership in the American Rose Society, visit their website, rose.org.
Try Haven Brand Soil Conditioners, providing generations of gardeners with a truly all-natural alternative to chemical fertilizers with their line of composted manure and alfalfa teas. Easy to brew and use on all indoor and outdoor plants. Find them online at manuretea.com.
Hey, Christian, welcome back to Rose Chat.
Hello, Teresa, how are you doing?
We're doing great. It's a little cold here. What's it like there for you?
Well, believe it or not, it's going to reach 100 degrees again on Monday. I can't believe it. We're tired of it, of the heat down here.
Well, we're about ready for frost here, so I looked out at my roses today and they're still just blooming away, but they're just about to get nipped.
Yeah, we're pretty much full bloom in the garden here, and lots of flower in the production field also. Last week we had our sales meeting, and it was just quite amazing the amount of bloom. All of them are coming back from the heat from the summer, and now they're flushing away and flowering like crazy.
Now, it looks to me like from all these new introductions, you and Tom Carruth have been busy. 8 new introductions for next year?
Well, I have to say, 2018, at least for the intro 2018, was a great year. We are releasing 8 varieties, but to tell you the truth, I had 3 more that were ready. And when we did our sales meeting 2 years ago, we decided, okay, we got 11 potential. And I told the salesman, normally I present like 12 or 13, but there's only 6 or 7 that are really the top one that we introduce. But when I present them with the 11, I say, well, I stand by it. I think they're all good. They're all rows that we should introduce. So we end up keeping 8, and we push 3 that will be introduced in 2020. But that was a great year. And actually, 2 or 3 of my favorite so far, I mean, as a breeder, my favorite always change, but 2 or 3 of my favorite, all-time favorite, are in that group of 2018. As far as I'm concerned, I think there are some of the best rows on the market today.
Oh, well, that's good to hear. I gave a presentation on these introductions to my Rose Society last week, and the comments were fabulous, very favorable. And people kept saying there's really something for everyone in this collection, and there is.
We try to do breeding on climbers, mini, floribunda, hybrid tea, ground cover. I mean, some years you get better results with one class. But I think this year we have everything. We have climber, mini, flory, grandy, maybe just not an HT, but, you know, sometimes the grandy and hybrid teas are very close, and the classification is sometimes it's a very thin line between a grandy and a HT. But, yeah, I think this is a year that we have pretty much all the classes in the new catalog.
Oh, I know. So, it just looks great. Well, let's start out with Frida Kahlo. Tell us about this rose, this coloration. Tell us about it.
Well, I would have to say first, it's very an honor when you could name a rose after someone you like. If that person is alive or in that case, Frida passed away years ago, but there's a connection between people and flower, and we're going to talk about Rosie the Riveter later. It's also a connection between some moment of the history, and it just makes whoever the daddy, in this case, it's Tom and I were sharing the breeding on Frida Kahlo, but whoever is the daddy of the rose makes the daddy proud when there's a special name associated with the rose. You know, Frida has been, I would call her very eccentric in her painting. You know, having a white rose will not have fit her very well. If you know, she's very well known around the world for, I call her the Salvador Dali female version, like very weird. So we were looking for some specific color that will represent the artist well also. So we basically all the plain color, plain red, plain pink, plain white, all those were rejected right from the start. And when we found that one, which is like a gold, kind of a scarlet orange stripe, Floribunda, and what's really interesting, I think, is it blushes red on the finish, so adds another level of complexity to the flower. We just thought, wow, that really represents kind of the artwork. And we've been working with the Frida Kahlo Corporation, and we presented that rose to them, and they say, yeah, if Frida was alive, that's likely what she would have done for as a flower. So very prolific bloomer. Very good disease resistance. I mean, we test them. Most of our roses are tested in New York, Ohio, Texas, Tennessee, Washington State, Oregon, California, multiple climate. And I don't know if I say Ohio, but I'm going to repeat it again. So Frida was very resistant on powdery mildew, rust, and downy, which is very good for Floribunda. Mm-hmm. And so, again, it's very showy color, very nice bud form. The flowers are round and very attractive. They're medium to large in size. There's plenty of petal with 25 to 40. Fragrance is kind of on the fruity side. Again, it just, if you like the artist, you will like the rose, no question about it, because it's just a showstopper with lots of color and very nice addition to the garden.
I think it's one of those roses that's going to get a lot of attention in the garden from visitors, because it's going to grab them. It's not your, you know, everyday color. I think it's one that's going to be a crowd pleaser for sure.
Yeah. Well, now she was sort of a controversial figure in her day, wasn't she?
Oh yeah, very much so. I mean, just like we're going to talk about the Rosie. I mean, a lot of those women back in the time being just working was controversial at that time. You know. And being an artist and be a colorful artist. And yes, she was controversial at the time, but now she's actually getting a lot of recognition. There's a Frida Kahlo Museum in Mexico. And actually, believe it or not, about 06, 08, 2006, 2008, I was traveling in Germany. And guess what? There was an exhibit of Frida Kahlo in Germany. So she's definitely world. Her painting and her art is traveling the world, and she became more famous after passing away than she was probably when she was alive. But now she's very well recognized as the emblematic artist of Mexico.
You know, that's a sad truth about a lot of artists. Their work's never really appreciated until they're gone.
That's why you have to probably invest in unknown artists, and knowing that when they pass away, maybe their painting will double and triple. Because you look at Frida's painting now, they are in the millions of dollars, you know. So I'm sure she was having difficulty selling them for $100 back then, you know?
Well, it's certainly a looker, I'll tell you. It'll be a big conversation piece in gardens all across the U.S.
We honor Frida's work through a flower, you know?
Yeah, that's just perfect for her. Well, let's move on to Hot and Sassy. What a name.
Oh, yeah, huh? You know, and I'll tell you what, it's not easy to name Rose, because you have to find a name that matched the personality of that rose, you know? If we would have named that one, Orange Eyes or whatever, it's just more than that, because it's really like a hot color with a brilliant yellow eyes. And on the finish, you will have an overlay of purple that makes it bluey on the finish. It's kind of a blue-gray. I mean, I've not seen again, there's definitely not a true blue, but the finish is just quite amazing. That blue gray kind of silverish, that when you start with like a scarlet orange, and then you go from like a russet, and then it goes on the blue inside one on the finish. It's just quite amazing, you know. And it's a little mini, so you could expect what you can expect of a mini. It's a kind of a nice compact rounded plant, just a machine of blooming, of producing flower. And you have those really cute bud form when they are at bud form. You could see the yellow gold, kind of yellow gold reverse, and the kind of a orangey red upper petals, and then they open to reveal that large yellow eyes, which makes it very showy.
I can definitely see this one in containers.
Yeah, so because it's a very tidy, rounded habit, it's perfect for a patio in a pot or tuck in a landscape as a border or a container somewhere. But definitely can be used in many areas of the garden.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know nothing about hybridizing, but I can see the parents of this rose in this rose. Sometimes you can't, but boy, I can see the parents.
Yep.
This rose. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. You kind of got a little bit of both, which is interesting. Sometimes you look at the kids, like you say, it's like, where are you coming from? Because it doesn't work at all. But in this one, you could definitely see the cinnamon girl in the background and all the Twitter with the orange color and the profuse blooming habit. And so it's a cute little mini, you know. So in the comments we wrote in Kellogg, it's time to spice up your garden, you know, with hot and sassy. So it's a bold color. It's definitely a bold color.
Good name too. I like it. I like it a lot. Okay, now I'm all excited about this next one. It's a climber, but it's a climber with an old-fashioned bloom. So tell us about Lady in Red.
You know, I would like to say that a lot of the reds I would reject because they go on the blue side. They burn, they go pink. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the thing we're working on breeding, is making sure the red colorations just hold all the way till the end. I mean, we introduced, I cannot tell you the date, but Oh My was one of those red that doesn't fade, that doesn't blue, that doesn't pink, that doesn't burn. And it's been very popular red. And I call that American red because it's just a red. And here's the challenge. So having a red that doesn't burn, doesn't fade, doesn't change color, then having it on the climber, then you add the challenge of having it on a really large, old-fashioned, ruffle flower, and then you get Lady in Red. It's a true climber. It's a little more compact for Pomona. I mean, we're in Pomona where we do the testing. Most of the climber by the fall, they're all more like 10 by 10. This one is probably more in the 8 to 9 range. So a little more contained than some of the larger climber, which is great if you have a smaller fence or trellises you want to put it on. But most of the flowers are produced in like 2 or 3 flowers per cluster, but the flower size, especially in the spring, and I'm not kidding, in the fall also, it's beautiful. They're like 4 to 4.5 inches, very wide and ruffle and red. And so it's pretty very interesting breeding to achieve that. And you could see Oh My in the as one of the parents. So we get the red color, the non-fading red from Oh My, which was good on at least transmitting that quality to Lady in Red.
Well, I also read Abundance Bloomer. You know, we love our flowers. So Abundance Bloomer on a climber. Love hearing that.
Well, the thing is, a lot of the older climber don't repeat well in the fall. And actually don't even repeat well in the summer, to be honest. But so part of the selection process when we evaluate new climbers is we want to make sure that they're blooming just like hybrid teas and flories and other modern hybrid. We want to make sure they continue blooming throughout the summer and even in the fall. And that's part of the selection. You want color in the fall too. And again, you Some climbers, you will almost add as many flowers in the fall as in the spring, some of the newer climbers. And Lady in Red is one of those that produce a nice amount of flower in the fall. In the spring, they're just like full red. It's like a red wall because you can barely see the foliage. It's just so many nice red flower on it. Yeah. And we count the petal age. Billy, I counted about 35 to 50. So definitely not shy of petals on that lady.
Yeah, that one, that gets some attention too. Love that red. Now, yeah. Let's move on to, I'm very partial to pink. I've got pink. But this parade day, I simply cannot wait to see it in person. So tell us about Parade Day Grandiflora.
Yeah, actually, what's interesting is we do sometimes we do a promotion for the Portland Rose Festival. Mm-hmm. And they use that rose when we still had the plant in the research block. And they say, well, they would like to have it as a promotion, a 1 year kind of promotion before you get released to the market. And they name it Parade Day. And most of the time, well, we just go in a different direction for our names. And, but then this time we just thought, well, that's pretty cool. You know, the action of the parade and the striping and of the cream and white brings kind of the movement of the parade. And we just like the name, so we decided to keep the same name. So that name is definitely related to the Portland Rose Festival. One thing I really like about that, not only has great bud form, it's got large flower, and the striping will vary amongst the flowers. Some are definitely more white, some are more pink, just like any stripe. There's variation in the striping, but I really like the strong citrus light with some spice fragrance. I mean, to me, it's just very distinctive of that variety, that the nice strong fragrance. So, and the color is all the way till the end. There's not much color variation from fresh as a bud to open flower to the finish. So it's one that's what we call self-cleaning. The petals are falling, and then the new flowers are coming right on top of the plant. So, I'll be interesting to hear some comments when people get it. I think it's going to be a nice one.
That bloom, that form of that bloom is just gorgeous. All spiral. I mean, it is just pretty, pretty, pretty.
Yeah, it's kind of a classic Grandy hybrid tea with the buds are very shapely, and with the all the petals are pointy, and so it's just very, very classic classic rose, and with a great fragrance. So not much more to ask, for sure.
Mm-hmm. I know. What else could we ask, really? And I saw that it had medium to long stems, so our flower rangers are going to enjoy that too.
Yeah, we're right here in California. The plant is about 5 feet tall in maturity in the fall. Again, we prune them in about a foot and a half, and by the fall they reach about five and a half. So I like plants that maintain a decent habit. I don't like something hybrid teas or grandeur that reach 8 feet tall. Some of them are long and spiky, and no. I want them to stay at about 5 or 6 max. At least you could still smell the flower. There's still a nice height for you to look at, and that's exactly what Parade Day does. Just right up to your nose, you can smell those flowers, you know?
You're singing our song. That's what we love. That's what we love. Well, let's move to one of your babies, Rosie the Riveter. What a name. Good job on that one.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool story. I mean, when you think about, just honoring people in general, but honoring people more specifically that has a direct impact on the American history, that's even more a greatest achievement. You think about all those Rosie that work in the factories, building shipyard during World War II, and finally we got a there's an organization named Spirit of 45 that pay tribute to all the vets and the Rosie. And so we work with them on the Rosie the Riveter Rose. And again, what best way to pay tribute to woman than flower, you know? So, and having a flower that would not be fragrant probably will not represent woman well. So that's why that's an added value to this one, because it has really a nice fruity and spice with hint of cinnamon. And the cinnamon, it's funny because some flowers have it and some does not have it. But when you have one that has that cinnamon fragrance, there's no question. You go like, yeah, straight there, cinnamon. It's very, very special fragrance. So, great way to honor the Rosie. They were part of the history. They did a lot for us. And we're actually going to be planting a lot of Rosie, the Riveter roses around the nation with, putting a memorial for the Rosie. So, having a live memorial for all the Rosie through that rose will be very, very nice.
Well, my mom wasn't a riveter, but she definitely worked in the factory and she was proud to do her part, but those gals did not have it easy. So thank you for honoring them with this rose. I see this rose and in the picture that you provided for us, we see every stage and it is absolutely spectacular. The color goes so well with, you mentioned the cinnamon fragrance and the color just works with that perfectly. But this is a rose that every stage, it is just gorgeous. A little bit of an unusual finish, but it's just so roughly and pretty. So an excellent choice for Rosie.
Yeah, I did not describe the color. Sorry, I just have the picture in front of me and I forgot we're on the radio. But so it's kind of a gold orangey with the pink blush on top of it. And the reverse is gold. And and like you say, it's kind of it worked well with the cinnamon fragrance also. Mm-hmm. And an interesting story, there's in Long Beach, there's a Rosie the Riveter Park, and one of the oldest alive Rosie came, I think he was, time flies, I think it was in May. So we went down there to plant one Rosie the Riveter in the park, and I think she was like 94 or 92 or somewhere like that. And mm-hmm. And she was going with the shovel, digging the hole, and she wanted to plant that rose. I mean, she wanted to plant it herself, and that was really interesting to see her going. She was so proud having the Rosie, the rose, and I'm hoping the Rosie, and actually every woman that like the, I mean, to me, the Rosie kind of changed the role of the woman in the civilization a bit, because that's when women went to work and, kind of, it's the little history of the revolution of the woman, I feel.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it definitely is. There's no question. And as you say, it's fragrant, it's pretty, it's strong, good, bold color. I think it represents them very well. And I wish I could have been there to see that 92-year-old woman try to get in there and plant that rose. So, you know, the spirit of Rosie was still alive in her for sure.
Yeah, so at the end, we say maximum flower power, we can do it.
Good job. Well, now we're gonna go into those roses that are tough as nails. I know these are two of your favorites that are in this Easy to Love collection. So we love when we hear that something's tough as nails in our garden, it's going to be beautiful. So let's start out with Easy on the Eyes. Tell us about this one.
You know, when someone shows up at the nursery and they look at a rose, they just pay whatever, $20, $25, whatever the price is for that rose. Probably nobody has any idea that behind that breeding of the eye zone, there's probably 50, 60 years of breeding. Mm-hmm. To come with a repeat bloomer with large flower. So Easy on the Eyes is start with like a light pink cream with a burgundy eyes, very large eyes. And then what's really interesting is it fades to lavender with the deep purple eyes. I mean, to me, we're talking the next two, we're talking about some of my two favorite roses that I've come out of weeks in the last, I've been at weeks for 17 years, and those are probably some of my two top favorite rows. I really like the novelty of the Easy on the Eyes. Again, the story that I just mentioned is at least 60 years of breeding from the species, the Ophemia species, the non-reblooming, to breeding that with roses, and then coming to have them to have a repeat flowering, and now we're coming with extremely good disease resistance on top of that. In my opinion, that's the best of that type of the Optimia with the iZone, because tested in our New York trial in Oregon and many of our trials, I mean, that thing was extremely disease resistant and flowered very well. It was a nice rounded habit. And it also have a really interesting citrus-like and spice fragrance, which kind of the spice you could expect from the purple line, but this one has also like a citrusy-like fragrance. In the spring, the rounded habit, you just don't even see the foliage because it's covered mm-hmm. with flower. Mm-hmm. It's just like we took picture and you could think that was cut and paste some flower to make custard. Mm-hmm. No. They're combed that way. They're just big clusters of 15, 20 plus flower, you know, and you have all those clusters on top of a perfectly rounded plant. And you just see flower, basically. That's what you see. But yeah, definitely one of my very, very, very favorite roses with extremely novelty of the color also.
Well, if it's any indication, when I showed that picture to my group, there were literal oohs and ahs, because it is something they've been looking for. And to hear that it was disease resistant and going to be hardy in our area, people were real excited about it.
Yeah, we tested it in New York in zone 5, and it survived winter very well, and it was fairly good on black spot resistance also, which is quite unique for that type of rose. Yeah, that's one of Tom Carewood hybridized that one, but you know, we say that all from weeks, we don't split who did what, but he did a great job on that one for sure.
Well, take us into the beauty that's this creamy white. Oh, my goodness. I can just imagine this rose right before evening in the garden, you know, how white just pops in your garden. This one is just, when I look at this picture of Easy Spirit, I just think of the word luscious. It's just a beauty. So tell us about it.
If it only was just a beauty, that would not have been acceptable to make it to the catalog. It's actually a really, really tough garden rose. I mean, really good on disease resistance. But as far as the beauty that you mentioned, when I remember last spring, we were trying to take picture of it, and every one of those flower comes into perfect form, perfect bud, perfect flower. And you know, a lot of the white, sometimes they scald on the edge, they burn a bit, and then they turn brown on finish. Okay, when you really have when it's really hot, it will do a slight edge of it. But most of the time, that rose is just holding that cream color with the perfect flower form. Again, tested in our Oregon trial with a lot of rain, it was really strong on downy resistant, and also tested in New York, really strong on black spot. The problem is what we do in our trial, we don't do much water and we don't do much fertilizer, which is not great for roses. So really, we're really testing them to their limit. So with just a little bit of water, a little bit of fertilizer, that thing will be dynamite in the garden. And we classified it as a large flowered floribunda, because even though it's, you know, it's mostly one large flower per stem, but the plant in California are probably more like 2.5-3 feet tall. So it makes it more like a floribunda. But each single flower is the size of a hybrid tea, no question about it. And they're all standing on top of the plant. So, it's hard for me to say. When I talk about roses, normally I always have something negative to say about every roses, because I'm doing the breeding, so I see what's wrong about them. But I'm telling you, that rose doesn't have much wrong about her. The Easy Spirit is definitely... it's going to rank among, I think, some of the best roses we've introduced, and also one from Tom Carewood. And I think Tom did Julia Child, and I always told Tom that Julia Child was his best creation ever. And I think Easy Spirit's gonna give a good kick to Julia Child to rank amongst the top one, because it's really nice.
Now, that is really saying something because, you know, the beloved Julia Child, I tell you, that rose, and you hear about that with everyone. Everyone knows about that rose. Everyone loves that rose. So if Easy Spirit's going to give her some competition, that will definitely be a good rose.
Yeah, I think Easy Spirit will compete against Julia Child on cleanliness, on quality of flowers and quality of the bush. Again, I'll let you guys decide, but in my opinion... In my opinion, I think Tom, with Easy Spirit, he would match at least Julia Child because it's very, very a great performer.
Well, he's pretty. We talked to him a few weeks ago at the district meeting, and he was quite excited about it. I can tell. So he's pretty proud of that one. He's excited to see where it's going to go. So. Okay, for good, another good. Rose that everyone's excited about, you know, its reputation has preceded it as the best of the best, and that's Top Gun. We've kind of been waiting on this one. So tell us about Top Gun.
Yeah, the best of the best. You know, so the story behind Top Gun, again, tested in all our trial ground. I mean, no problem on downy mildew, no problem on rust, no problem on powdery mildew, and really strong resistance on black spot also. And coal hardiness was great in upper state New York. So when we have a private trial ground in Tennessee, and Tennessee, I will name it personally the capital of Rose Rosette. I don't know if there's a worse place, but let's just say it's really bad on Rose Rosette in Tennessee. Again, I've not been to all states. Maybe there's some states that are worse, but Tennessee seems to be one of the ones I've seen the most Rose Rosette. Okay. Yeah, so again... I'm not going to rank the state, which one is the worst, but let's just say Tennessee is amongst one of the worst I've seen. And so we trial about, I would say, 500, 600 different selection, two plants each in the Tennessee trial. So we're talking about, you know, between 800 to 1,000 to 1,200 plants in the ground. And that year... I'm not kidding. I was looking around. I was close to start crying. I was like, gosh, everything was defoliated and they had rosette everywhere. Then I start taking notes and I was like, oh man, I don't take much notes. I just put an X in front of the number dead. You know, I'm not going to spend much time on it. So when a seedling has an X in front of his seedling number, then it's dead. Then after going through the first four or five rows, bang, there was two plants, because everything is planted by two. There was two plants that were 5 feet tall, foliated to the ground, and no rosette. So I was like, wow, this is quite interesting. And actually, Keith Zary, the breeder, also a well-known rose breeder, was with me that day. And we kind of both looked at each other with a smile. I was like, wow, and very interesting. So that was 2 years without spray, without much fertilizer, and without not much water either. But we tested it another 2-3 years after that, and still was very clean and very good. So what I would like to say about that rose is no roses are perfect. I mean, don't get me wrong. Even my best of the best, you know, something can happen. You know, one morning, there's more water that comes on it. The drainage is not good. The plant is stressed. Then you get black spot or whatever, you know. So so we thought that rose is it's a great shrub. Right from the start, it's a great shrub because of the disease resistance, the cold hardiness. It blooms a lot. But on top of that, looks like there's some rosette resistance. So we've been testing that a little more, and okay, so we found some location that a couple plants have been diagnosed with rose rosettes. I think one was diagnosed in Texas and maybe some in Oklahoma. So it's not perfect, but if you put Top Gun next to other roses in the field, like we did in our testing, this one shows higher resistance to rosette than others. So that's our conclusion at this point. We're still testing it, see how that resistance come from, what kind of resistance that plant has. But again, regardless of the resistance of the high resistance or some resistance to rosette, it's just a good shrub. And it's like about a 10 petals red flower that just produce a lot of them, and they hold the color till the end and produce a lot, and the bush is just full and rounded. So again, we're very hopeful. I know you said that was one that has a lot of anticipation. So mm-hmm. I would definitely like to hear back from people that will trial it. I would love to hear back from them what they think. But as far as our about 5 years of testing, we're still doing more testing. But what we've done in those 5 years, it seems to be a very good rose, you know.
Well, it's a pretty rose. I love that yellow center, and I love what you're finding about rose rosette. We need more and more of that, of course. So, yeah, we want to try this one for sure, because this could be an answer for just having something very pretty and resistant as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, before I let you go, I have to tell you something. I have a couple of Dick Clarks, and they've always done well. But this year, they have been absolutely nonstop blooming all summer. I was out today. They're just full of blooms. I'm still picking things, bringing them in. And that rose is just the showstopper. I love it. I've had it a long time. I had them a long time. And I just love my Dick Clark rose. So well done there.
Well, we spend a lot of time on breeding, and we spend a lot of time on trialing the seedlings, and we spend a lot of time on making evaluation, making sure that the best of the best, you know. And when we start with a population of 250,000 seeds, and, well, that's a lot, you know, and that's about every year since I've been at Weeks, it's in around that 200,000 to 250,000 seeds. So each of those little seeds is a little potential little rose seedlings, and to come out with to the market with five or six or seven with our new introduction, you know, we've looked at them for years, and we've trialed them for years, and we trial them in multiple climates, different type of soil, and we only keep really the best of the best. So that's why when you give us a good feedback on one of our introduction, like you just did on Dick Clark, well, it just proves that we've done the trialing right, I guess, and the breeding right. So that's just great. Thank you for that good comment.
Well, it is beautiful, and it's beautiful right now, and it's been beautiful all year. So we appreciate your hard work. We are so thankful that you're patient and that you go through all of those seedlings. I can't even imagine such a thing, but you're giving us so many beautiful things for our gardens, and we sure appreciate your work.
Well, thank you very much, and that's the goal, to make rose gardening easier for everybody. So when we achieve that, then people won't have any excuses to not grow roses, because the day they could just plant a new rose bush in the ground and drop a handful of fertilizer in the spring, give it a little water, and the rose will bloom and make that gardener the garden beautiful, then everybody will grow roses again.
Absolutely.
We certainly had a great time talking with Christian about these new roses from Weeks. Did you know that you can download the entire Weeks catalog for 2018 on their website at weeksroses.com? Well, friends, that's all the time we have for this edition of the Rose Chat Podcast, and we thank you for listening. Join us next time. Until then, happy gardening from your friends at Rose Chat.
You've been listening to the Rose Chat Podcast with Chris Van Cleve and Teresa Byington, expert rose gardeners who want to help you achieve the rose garden of your dreams. Don't miss an episode. Listen anytime on our website at rosechatpodcast.com, or listen on the go via the Rose Chat app on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Share this podcast with your social networks and join us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by using the hashtag RoseChat. Join us next time for another edition of the Rose Chat Podcast. The Rose Chat Podcast is a production of the Rose Chat Media Group, Birmingham, Alabama.